We have two readings today, one from Galatians and one from Romans. So Galatians 5, 16 to 23. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then Romans 8, 12 to 14. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God.
Good morning again. Lovely to be with you. This morning, it's my privilege to take us on through the journey that for some of you who are new, you are so welcome with us, but for others of us, over the last term, we've been looking at the Nicene Creed. And for some of you, as you may well know the Nicene Creed off by heart, anyone? Probably not. But you will know that, Joanna does at the back, excellent. We won't put you to the test, Joanna. But through that, what we've been looking at is some of the pillars of the faith, all of that that underpins who we are, what the Christian faith is really about, and indeed within that, the rock on whom we stand. So it's my privilege today to be speaking about the second in a two-parter almost of looking at the Holy Spirit. For those who were with us last week, we heard Gail talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And this week, as you've just heard, thanks to Phil in the reading, is looking at, in part, the fruit of the Spirit. But great to come together today, isn't it, at the start of Advent as well, as we saw with the lighting of the wreath and as Douglas said. And I don't know about you, but you know, as we come to this point of all the busyness of Christmas and so on, but Advent speaks, doesn't it, of this period of waiting, of great expectation, of preparation of the heart as well, but also of hope, as we've heard, particularly on this first week of Advent. So I really hope and pray that just in our few minutes together this morning, that actually we will come to this place, not to listen to me and what I say, but with open hearts, with that sense of waiting, of expectation, of that preparation of the heart and of hope. Because that's why we come to church, isn't it? Not just to be with each other and be family and what a gift that is in this church, but actually because we come expectant, don't we? And with open hearts and minds, wanting to go deeper with the Lord. So my prayer this morning is that we will have a sense of what the Holy Spirit wants to say to each one of us today. And may you not leave this place untouched by the Holy Spirit. Let me just pray for us before we carry on. Father God, we just thank you for who you are, the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and indeed the Holy Spirit. As we look to you today, Lord, and we look at these verses, we just pray, Lord, would you help us to have open hearts, open minds? Holy Spirit, we welcome you here, as indeed you are already here. But thank you, Lord, that there is always more to learn about you, the person of the Holy Spirit, who you are. Would you invade this place and invade our hearts and lives even more as we allow you to do that and look to you? May your Spirit fall, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we look at this subject matter, I was thinking of a time where many moons ago, the highlight of my summers for about 18 years were going on some amazing CPAS-run summer camps Some of you might know of them. There's lots of summer camps that happen still today, aren't there? But the build-up from finishing school in July and going off these summer camps over 18 years, and I ended up leading them for about 7 years, was the absolute highlight. Now, you can see some of the pictures. Top points to any of you who can spot me on a few of the pictures with blonde hair, dare I say. Actually, it was such a highlight for me. What these summer camps represented was an amazing week of fun, of friendship. We went with our whole church youth group. I grew up in Leicester. We would go on this annual pilgrimage to these summer camps. And there we made amazing new friends. I remember coming home and my lovely parents would put the flags out to welcome me and my brother home. And they remind me time and time again that I would look at them, burst into tears and run up to my bedroom. I'd had such a great time that sadly I didn't want to be at home. I wanted to be with these newfound friends. It ran deep. But you know, actually, prior to those summer camps, the bit that I didn't like was the packing. If anyone's with me, my pet peeve is packing. I love travel. I love adventure. I hate packing. Is anyone with me? It just takes too much thought and effort, doesn't it? I can pack for the boys, quite simple for them. For me, I just don't like it. But from the age of 11, 12, 13, my mum, rightly so, got me doing my own packing, training me up. And it was the thing that I used to scrimp on. I was already ahead of the game at camp, wanting to meet up with my friends, and I would bundle into a bag the bare few things. We were always sent a kit list, as you are, aren't you? The sports stuff you needed, the toiletries, the wet weather equipment, whatever it was, whether it was camping, whether it was in these lovely big redbrick boarding schools. But there I was with this ill-equipped bag. And thankfully, I didn't get out the door like that, because what do mums do, and maybe dads as well, or whoever looks after us, there she came with an extravagant abundance of everything that was on the kit list that I had forgotten. Out came the sportswear, the swimming stuff, the towel, the cosmetics, the bit that I needed, and I packed a bag so that I was, thankfully, resourced well for what had then transpired during the course of the week. We had a fabulous time year on year, and I learnt so much more about the Lord through those times of both fun and friendship and going deeper with him. But aren't mums brilliant in that sense of resourcing us for all that we needed? Certainly for me, that bag would have been very empty without her. And as I thought this morning of actually looking at the passages around the gifts, not just the gifts last week, but the equipping of the Holy Spirit, it struck me, as this slide shows, whoops, there we go, next slide, Jacob, please, that actually, just like my mum had come just at the right time to resource me for what I needed, don't we look to the Holy Spirit as the extravagant equipper? He doesn't leave us unresourced, doesn't leave us going out the door, actually, with nothing in our kit bag. Actually, what we're promised is that the Lord wants to equip us and strengthen us, give us God's resources always at hand. But not only that, the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us, wants to walk with us, wants to provide for us, wants to strengthen us and give us wisdom. And not just once here today on a Sunday or in many moons ago when we felt maybe a sense of the Holy Spirit for some of us who've journeyed with the Lord for longer, but every day. He's an extravagant equipper, not just once, but every day, every moment. It struck me this morning, just as I was getting ready and pondering and praying over what I was to share with you, just that the Lord's resources never run out, do they? I don't know how you feel. You might feel exhausted sitting here today after a busy week or a busy weekend. We get tired, don't we? But the Lord is extravagant in his equipping. It never runs out. It's always there to support us and serve us, to be with us, walk with us and journey with us. And I wonder what that looks like for you. Well, it may be that actually you sometimes feel a bit bereft and empty in the office, or when you're chatting to people and it feels just lovely but quite draining, or when you're looking ahead to even Christmas and all of the plans and you're already feeling like, oof, how are we going to make it through? And yet actually we know, don't we, the Lord, through his Spirit that lives in us and with us, is an extravagant equipper. We need to have no doubt that he can pour out an abundance to us in whatever the circumstance we find ourselves. Talking to people. I know I'm always conscious so often as I'm chatting to people, I'm sure many of you are the same, that even as we're talking, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what is it I'm supposed to see? What is it that you want me to say? How can I be a blessing to this person? And that's the Holy Spirit in us, isn't it? And through us, certainly nothing that comes from us. The Bible, as many of you know, tells us about the gift of the Holy Spirit right back in the book of Acts. As you might remember, and Jacob, if you can flick the next slide up for us, That Jesus had his disciples, didn't he? His close friends who journeyed with him for those 3 years, and they saw him through the good, the bad, the ugly, the healing, the living life, the encounters with people. I've been watching snippets of The Chosen recently. If any of you have seen that? It's amazing. I'm going to commit to watching it over Christmas. It brings the story of who Jesus is, his kindness, his encounters with people truly to life. It's really impacted me just this week. But in those moments, we saw that not only did the disciples journey with Jesus in those mountaintop moments, but they were obviously there at his death, weren't they? But also there present at his resurrection. But what we see in the book of Acts in verse 1 and 2 is that in that upper room, as many of you might remember, where the disciples were all gathered, the friends of Jesus, they were utterly bereft, weren't they? They'd journeyed with Jesus and now he'd gone. And actually, they didn't know if he was coming back. And we see in this moment that actually, as they were there, maybe mournful, maybe with lots of anxiety and questions, what do we do now in this situation? How is this ever going to be the same? What we see is this promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this picture shows us, doesn't it, that reminder in Acts 2 when the disciples sitting there, a mixture of emotions, just like many of us are, I'm sure, even today, this week, who knows, at different points in our lives. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came and it dropped a powerful presence that assured them that even though Jesus was to ascend to heaven, the Holy Spirit was always going to be with them. And what an encouragement for us that it wasn't just for them, was it? It was the Helper that was promised both for them in that upper room, which transformed their lives and their language for many of them, even in that moment. We're reminded where the tongues of fire came down. They started speaking in different languages. They were commissioned. They went out and they shared the good news of Jesus. The amazing thing is that that wasn't just a promise for them. It was a promise for us too. We see in this sense, go on to the next slide, that we see an extravagant equipper. Not just the Father and Son, but that Helper that could always be with us. And in that moment, they were completely amazed. I wonder whether you have ever been in a position where you have felt amazed or touched by the Holy Spirit. For me, as I was pondering on this, having been Christian for many years, I thought, where is it that I have sensed or really felt the power of the Holy Spirit? I remember, if I'm honest, being very freaked out at age 14, 15 or so, when many of you might remember it was the time of the Toronto blessing, and going along to a church where actually people were going forward for prayer and being slain in the spirit and falling on the ground. And yet I learned during that time that even though it felt uncomfortable to me because I didn't know much about the power of the Holy Spirit, actually it was all good. And the reason it was good is because it was from God. And even though it felt a bit abstract, a bit unknown to me, my brother was straight in there. He was like, if this is God, it's good. I'm going down. He went to the front, was prayed for, and had a real encounter with the Holy Spirit. I was more reticent. It took me a few years. But there have been many times, and maybe for some of you too, where even here or at Spring Harvest or at summer camps or in places or walking or out and about, actually the presence of the Holy Spirit for me personally has simply just felt like maybe a fluttering of the eyelashes. Or just that quickening of a heartbeat, which again, many of you might have had. Something that just stirs and you just have a sense of the Spirit being with you. The amazing thing is God's a creative God, isn't he? So what might feel like the sense of the Holy Spirit for me will be totally different for you. Some people laugh, don't they? Other people cry. Some people fall in the Spirit, not because they've been pushed, but because the Lord's overwhelmed them with this joyous sense of the Holy Spirit. Others just have a deep-rooted sense of peace, of just that calm. We've talked about that hope, peace that just pervades, goes beyond our understanding. For me as well, the Holy Spirit has sometimes meant that as I've been praying and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me, that actually he might give me a particular Bible verse or a word or a picture, whether that's for me or it's to be shared with somebody else. Just last week, I gave thanks to God. I was away with our team from the Evangelical Alliance. We were praying in different groups at one particular point, and I was so encouraged by the Lord that as I shared a picture with a colleague, and I only say this to give glory to God, as I shared this picture of a book of the Bible with a young woman, Anna, who's in her early 20s, she's on our graduate scheme, I said, I feel that Lord wants to say something to you through this, but you take it, you weigh it, see what you think. And it just so happened that I shared a picture from the story of the woman who puts the jar of perfume over Jesus' feet. Some of you know the one. And in that, there's this sense of giving, wasn't it, in abundance and reverence to put the perfume over Jesus' feet. And we talked that through and we prayed about it. And I was so encouraged that as we stopped praying, she said, Rachel, she said, the Lord's spoken to you through that. She said, that's my favourite book of the Bible. She said, not only that, I've got a tattoo here of the alabaster jar. I was just so overwhelmed and just only share that to say, isn't God good? That was nothing that I did. That was him speaking, praise God, to me to share something that was a blessing to her. And not only did it speak to her, she had an actual tattoo. I was just like, come on. This is the opportunity we have, isn't it? To lean in, to sense the Lord, not for our benefit, although sometimes it is, but to share it with others, hopefully in ways that will bless them. And even in the toughest of times, for me going back about 18 years when my mum had cancer, praise God, in remission now. But actually in that moment, the Holy Spirit was powerful. In times when I couldn't even pray, I had that sense that the Holy Spirit gave me his peace. There's a quote that says, Christianity without the Holy Spirit is just a good idea. Christianity with the Holy Spirit is a transformed life. Let's just imagine for a moment, skeptical as we may be sometimes, because of the hardships we've been through, maybe some of the disappointments or the unanswered prayers. But let's just imagine for a moment what the Lord might want to do in you and through you today, this week. That transformed life. I don't know about you, but I seek after that, don't you? I don't want to live a life in my own strength, in my own power, but I will lean on the Lord for the times when it's really tough. Because we know that Christianity isn't just a good idea, is it? It's life impacting, and the Holy Spirit is what is transformational. In Acts 1, as we've seen on that picture, Jesus said to the disciples, don't go anywhere until you've received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we saw in that moment that God equips them extravagantly with, as we said, with equipping, with strength, with comfort, with new languages. And what we see there is those frightened disciples, well, what happened to them? They became world changers, didn't they? Now, God may not use each one of us to be a world changer. I'm not sure I seek after that necessarily, do you? But I want God to use me in the places and spaces that he's put me, and I'm sure you do too. And what we see out of those disciples when they leant on the Lord, when they asked for the equipping of the Spirit, actually the Holy Spirit they saw was not reluctant. He was ready in abundance, wasn't he, to give them what they needed. So I wonder, just as we think of this extravagant equipper nature of the Holy Spirit, what might you need even today for the Lord to equip you? In what areas of your life do you maybe feel lesser resourced? That just like me, packing a meagre bag that wasn't equipped for the matter or the camp in hand. What is it? What are the extra things you need for the Lord to resource and equip you with even today? On the next slide, what struck me in reading these passages was that not only is the Holy Spirit an extravagant equipper, but actually is a powerful prompt and provider. I don't know if you've ever been out and about in a place where it's unknown to you. It could be out in Cambridge or in London or somewhere that you've travelled to for work or you're visiting family. And we often go by our Google Maps, don't we, or our sat-nav. And all too many times I've been following that, seemingly going in the right direction. And yet we end up in a hedge or a dead end or in a completely unknown part of London is often my case. It's not always that reliable, is it? I remember before the days of, do you remember the days of TomTom and Garmins? Well, before we had maybe more inbuilt sat-navs on our phones or in our cars. Actually, I bought a Garmin, which is supposed to be the most sophisticated satellite system. Well, Darren and I could tell you, I think there were all too many journeys. It took us completely on the wrong motorway in the wrong direction. It wasn't reliable at all, sadly. We soon went for a TomTom. This is not a plug, but it was much more reliable. The great thing is that the Holy Spirit is not a faulty sat-nav, is he? He always knows what he wants for us, where we're going. And I think as the world speaks about what does your gut tell you, what does your conscience tell you, my learning over the years has been that actually for us, that sense of leaning into a gut or a conscience actually is the Holy Spirit for us, is it not? That actually as we lean in, as we make decisions, as we need to be prayerful, as we discern how to act, how to respond, how to speak, how to adapt, actually the Holy Spirit, like a gut or a conscience, gives us that wherewithal, that sense of a nudge, a prompt, as the Holy Spirit moves. In Galatians 5, as we heard, Paul says this, he says, walk by the Spirit, and therein you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And by that, what he means is the flesh speaks to actually this sense of our body and the functions of our mind, the stuff that in a human we're wired to do, but actually all can be redeemed by God. And he talks, as you can see here, about the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, but fruit, albeit there are nine different entities. One fruit, many expressions as to how that outworks itself in our lives. And many of us might have, if we've been Christians for a while, we might have heard these verses in Galatians and might even be able to chant them off. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we stop to even think about each one of those, whilst we might know the list and be able to rattle it through, each one of those is powerful, isn't it? The outworking of how we live in love with those around us, how we bring joy or seek the joy of the Lord, who is our strength, how we might be peacemakers, seek to have patience even when it's at most difficult times, kindness, goodness, and so on. And these are not holy personality traits, are they? These are the supernatural evidence of what God in us does through us and how it is possible to live a life lived in love, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. The Holy Spirit provides these in us, doesn't he? But also prompts us to be living by these. And I wonder, as you look at that list, even today, there might be some that actually you think, yeah, I'm doing okay in that regard. I'm actually being really quite patient at the moment. Or actually, my life does feel filled with joy. But my guess is for most of us, if you're anything like me, actually, there might be a trigger to one or two of those that we think, Lord, would you help me in that area? Because actually, I'm really not doing too great in that regard. But what we know is that actually, whilst the Holy Spirit can equip us in the moment, today, into the rest of the week, we also know that actually it's a journey towards wholeness, isn't it? This Christian life that we lead, journey of a lifetime, in fact. We know too that the fruit of the Spirit is grown over time. It's not manufactured. It's nothing that we can do. The fruit of the Spirit, as we see it outworked, is the evidence, isn't it, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not by our efforts, but it is by our asking. And that's partly what we're considering today, isn't it? How do we ask for that? The fruit of the Spirit as well is also internal, but it is always visible externally. And I wonder what sort of person you want to be. I would love to be somebody, wouldn't you, where people say, whenever Rachel comes into the room, she always brings X. Or when Douglas is around, we feel this. Or when, I'm not going to pick on anyone else, but when they come into the room, there's something about them. And what I was fascinated by, just briefly touching on that Finding Jesus research that I mentioned, was that numerous of the people that we surveyed said, when I was alongside this person, that there was just something about them, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Or there was a real sense of joy, or of direction, or of guidance, or whatever it was. It's the Holy Spirit in us, isn't it, that is evident. And yet within this, just briefly touching on, Jacob, you can go on to the next slide, the fact that I've become aware as well over the years that there is a sense that we can at times grieve the Spirit. And I don't know whether that's something that we often speak about. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, Paul warns us and says this. He says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. There comes with a blessing, doesn't there, and a promise of the Holy Spirit, but also this warning sense of not grieving the Spirit. How do we grieve the Spirit? Well, we're told actually in that passage, it's when we resist the promptings or we cling on to the attitudes or behaviours that oppose to God's nature. And for me, just to share briefly on this, there was one particular time where I had an absolute sense that my actions had grieved the Holy Spirit. And this was a time when I was 18, I was at university, 18, 19, I was at university up in Leeds, and I was living in halls at the time, and on one particular evening, a whole gang of my friends had said, we're going into the centre of Leeds, come to the cinema with us. And I just, as I always will, always up for party or for going out with people, like, yep, I'm there, count me in. Off we went. Went to the cinema, didn't know what I was seeing, but trusted them to think, we'll have a good time, off we go, and off we went to the cinema. What transpired was, as we went in, the film that we were seeing was an 18. I don't need to tell you the title, but as I sat down, we got our popcorn and we all went in, I sat there and the film began. And it was horrific. It was a thriller, not a horror, but I sat there and in that moment, it was horrible. It was just a horrible film, and the stirring within me in that moment said, Rachel, you need to leave. This is not good for you. It's not good for your mental headspace. It's not positive. It's not good. You should leave. Well, I didn't leave because the peer pressure of being there amongst friends was too great. I don't say this out of any pride. It was not a good move. But, you know, in that moment, I sat there with this stirring thinking, this is not good for me. I should go. And I didn't go because actually I felt it was difficult to get out. You know, the practicalities, I justify it, and I stayed. And I felt deeply uncomfortable in that moment. I left the cinema, friends walked on ahead of me, and I was with another friend. And as I left the cinema, I felt really unwell, and sorry to be graphic, but I turned and actually was physically sick in a bush. And as I sort of pulled myself together, I was with a boyfriend at the time, I didn't explain what it was, but in that moment, I knew what it was. And actually me being physically sick, not to say that will happen to all of us, but I knew it was this sense that actually watching this film, which was wholly not good for me, was a grieving of the spirit. Now, I only share that with you because, one, it taught me a lesson. And actually, it drew me back to that passage. Let me just find it here. The passage in Philippians 4, which gives us a bit of a broker on this, doesn't it? And in Philippians 4, it says this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, because therein lies what is worthy of the Holy Spirit. That was my main experience of feeling that sense of being, of grieving the Spirit. This is real stuff, isn't it? Actually, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, we talk of our bodies being a temple. There is a seat of the Spirit. I guess that's why I do this. It feels like the Spirit is in us. It sits here. For me, not proud of that moment, it taught me a lesson. When we grieve the Spirit, when we fill our minds or our behaviours or our actions in ways that are not worthy of the character and the love and the person of Jesus, we wound and we grieve the Spirit. Therein maybe lies a challenge and a warning for some of us. Not that the Spirit will leave us, it doesn't. Not that the Holy Spirit won't refill us, it does. But there's a sense, isn't there, of checking ourselves. Where are we being honouring to God, dishonouring to God? Let's get ourselves in check too. So I wonder in all of this, just as we think of actually the Holy Spirit being a powerful, sorry, go back a slide, Jacob, for me. Just on that, the powerful provider and prompt. I wonder what that looks like for us today. Which fruit of the Spirit do you most need to refresh or the Lord to build in you right now? But also, is there anything where we can even today just say, Lord, is there anything in my life that is grieving the Spirit? Through wrong priorities, negativity, maybe bitterness, ignoring God's voice. The Holy Spirit is always gentle, always loving, always speaking to us. The question for us maybe today is, are we making the room to lean in and to listen? Just lastly, I'd love to again just encourage us, as we've said, maybe touched on already, that the Holy Spirit is a generous giver. Hands up for me if you started buying Christmas presents. I'm not going to ask if anyone has finished and wrapped them. That would be thoroughly depressing. But you have, haven't you? Most of us have probably got our lists out, got started, and the Christmas season is well underway. And as we think of givers, I wonder if I was to ask you, you don't need to tell me, but if I was to ask you, who in your family, those who buy you gifts, who are the practical givers, the ones that give you socks, deodorant, toothpaste maybe, something like that, and who might be the generous givers? You've got an answer down here by the time. The generous givers will be the one, won't they, who've really thought about it and give you something you maybe didn't even know that you wanted or needed, but actually, that's a great gift, isn't it? Hands up who likes getting socks for Christmas? A few of you, excellent. Brilliant. Maybe we need a few practical givers too. But what we do know, don't we, throughout the Bible, is that God is a generous giver. He loves to give, and he knows exactly what we need, doesn't he? He doesn't need to ask us what's on our Christmas list. He knows what's in our hearts. And on this next slide, Jacob, if you can flick through to Romans 8, as we heard earlier, it tells us that God gives not out of duty, but out of delight. And the verse in Romans 8 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Lord equips us for impact, not just for comfort. He gives us good gifts, not just for Christmas, but to last a lifetime. And we know, don't we, that that can fulfill a multiple of things. It can be gifts for ministry, as we heard of last week through Gail. It can be the power, the confidence, a little bit being a bit bolder and braver in our conversations with people to witness to something of what God's done in our lives. It can be the strength to persevere in situations that just feel helpless or hopeless. The generous giver can give us that boldness to act, the desire and the willingness to serve, but also the compassion to reach others. And the thing that I love about it, and maybe that revelation that I had just this morning of the abundance of God and the equipping of the Spirit, is that this isn't rationed, is it? God doesn't have a pot of the Holy Spirit which will run out. It's not rationed, it's generous. So I'd love us just to watch, just before we close in a moment, we have a time to actually reflect and respond, but we're going to just watch a short clip which comes from a speaker many of you will know called J. John, and he speaks about everything being possible because of the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Let's just watch this before we move on.
His Spirit living in us, this is the incredible thing. His Spirit living in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow, wait a minute. The same? Yeah, the same in here? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, oh my word, and it can raise Jesus from the dead, wow, there's a lot in here. Yeah, therefore, I am capable. Therefore, you are capable. Therefore, everything is possible. Everything. If you've got God's Holy Spirit, everything is possible. Miracles are possible. Everything is possible because His Spirit is living in us.
I wonder if you've ever thought about that. As I watched that clip, that really struck me of thinking, have I ever clocked the fact that the promise of the Holy Spirit for us is that very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Maybe it's just me. I find that quite mind-blowing, don't you? That actually what we have on offer today, even in this moment, going into work tomorrow or driving or having coffee with people, being on maternity leave, praise God for Izzy, whatever it looks like, we have the opportunity, don't we, to know this Holy Spirit that was the same very Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I find that quite choking because it makes me think, wow, if God can do that, why on earth would He give us His Holy Spirit? But He does, doesn't He? Because He loves us and He wants to equip us extravagantly, day in, day out, moment in, moment out. So what we're going to do is just have a chance to respond. I'd love to. Sometimes we hear from each other, don't we? And we share our sermons and we will go into a time of worship as well. But it just seems amiss to not have the chance to just personally reflect for a moment and to respond to the Holy Spirit. That very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you and for me today. And whether you've felt the sense of the Holy Spirit a million times, praise God, over the course of a lifetime, or whether you've never felt the Holy Spirit, be assured that the Lord is gentle and kind, that He wants to encounter us. He is always present, but we do need to lean in and ask. He will not. I remember somebody teaching me that when I was learning more about the Holy Spirit in my younger years. The Lord will never force Himself upon us, but His Holy Spirit is there to be captured, to be invited in, to equip us, to fuel us, to impact us, because then we can be those world changers in the places and spaces where God has put us. I don't know about you, but I'm up for that. Are you? What we're going to do just in this moment is quite simply just do business with the Lord where you are. I just would really invite you to just, in a quiet moment, we're going to play a song in just a minute, which is a beautiful song some of you will know called Oceans, and it talks about the Spirit just leading us beyond borders. And I don't know if you're anything like me, that's actually pushing out sometimes from our comfort zone. That's not to be, you need to do anything that feels uncomfortable, but actually the Spirit leads us beyond maybe where we've been with Him before. And I don't know about you, but I feel up for that today. We come expectant, we come preparing our hearts for Advent, don't we? We come hopeful and looking for hope. So as we just listen to this song, I'd love to just give you an invitation for a few things. One, just encourage you to just sit and reflect and lean into the Lord. Just open our hearts and souls to just say, Lord, what is it that you would want to say to me today? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. What I'd also love to give you the opportunity to do as we sit and listen is to come to the front here to just grab one of these. The Holy Spirit is often represented through fire, is it not? And through flames. And what I've done is just put a whole load of these here for no other reason than sometimes it's just good to actually physically respond, to actually get on our feet, to just say yes to the Lord. And all I'm inviting you to quite simply do, or put your hand up if you'd like us to bring one to you, is to just come and get one of these and take it back to your seat. And just as you hold it and reflect on it, it felt right to get something physically for you to hold. Don't feel you have to, but if you would like to, just take it back to your seat. Or turn to the person next to you and just say, would you just pray that the Holy Spirit will fill me? And then maybe take this home and put it somewhere in your house that actually during the course this week you might daily be reminded to ask for the Holy Spirit's infilling. Is that okay? So I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll just have a bit of quiet. Like I said, the song will play. But I would just invite you in your own time to just simply come to the front and grab one of these and take it back to your seat, or grab somebody. Also, if you feel stirred that actually you feel like, I feel a bit exhausted and I just want that infilling of the Holy Spirit, I've had it before but I want it again, then please do feel free to turn to somebody next to you and ask them to pray with you. But also, Helen and Graham will be at the back. Just feel free to go and ask them to lay a hand on you and just to pray for you. If that's for you the first time that you've actually heard about the Holy Spirit or just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, again, do ask somebody, do pray yourself, or do go to Helen or Graham. Is that okay? So let me just pray for us. And maybe just where you're sitting, I would invite you to just put your hands out, if you're willing and able to, just as a visual sign of saying, Lord, actually, I'm open to you. Please don't feel you have to, but if you feel happy to, with arms open and hands open, let me just pray for us. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we have heard just a little bit more, touched on the nature of your Holy Spirit, which is good because it's from you, Father God. Lord, in this bit of time together where we have a few minutes to just pray, to seek your face, to respond to you, Lord, I thank you that you know each one of us deeply and intimately. I thank you that you know each one of our lives. And Lord, just as we listen to this song and go into a time of worship together, Jesus, would you just be powerfully present with us by the power of your Holy Spirit? For each one of us, Lord, would you unlock something in us that allows us to just go deeper with you, to seek your face, to seek your equipping, your prompt, your provision. Thank you that you are a generous giver. So Holy Spirit, just as we listen now, would you prompt our hearts, speak to us personally and deeply, Lord, because we know that you've always got more, you are an abundant God, and it never runs out. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander.
Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. You are indeed the great equipper. And what you provide for us never runs out. Lord, we thank you that even as we hold on to these flames and we look at them, Jesus, we come to a time of worship, would we just continue in that place of just seeking the Lord, asking him for what you need today and this week. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are indeed the almighty helper. And may we know you closely with us today. And always we seek you for that transformed life that would both equip us and bless others, impacting them through us. As we continue in worship and just seeking the Lord, if you're willing and able, why don't we stand together? Please feel free to still go.